Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
At News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah, Santa heard about that Cornerstone Alliance deal where he gets part of his mortgage taken care
of. He's moving here. The North Pole will be minus one resident.
Patrick, how are you this morning?
I am fine, my friend. How are you?
Good, thank you. Jim Gifford here. Patrick Moody is in for the vacationing Spencer Rivers. And we're kind of wrapping up our pre-holiday week here this morning on the 23rd of December with a little bit of Springsteen there. Do you discount the modern pop version of Christmas songs? Some people hate them.
No, not necessarily.
Only like the traditionals, you know.
Yeah, I'm all across the board. You know,
yeah, me too.
The thing I actually like the most is I just like to turn on, if I can find a good instrumental, variation, and I'll buy stuff and throw it in my iPad and then play it through a speaker and just listen to the instrumentals.
Yeah, I like I can't even think of the group now or who did it, but I have it's an old one. It's a CD of
a certificate of deposit.
Some orchestra performing a lot of the old classics.
Oh yeah.
And that's beautiful. And
probably the what is it out there in Salt Lake City?
The Mormon
Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, it's not them, and it's not Mannheim Steamroller.
Have you ever been to the Mormon Tabernacle?
I have not.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, they go all the way to the front of the building. They put you all the way at the back of the building, and they say, "Okay, turn your back to the guy who's at the front of the building, where he's in front of all the big pipes and everything." He goes, "And everybody, be very quiet." And then he drops a pin, and you can hear it.
Really?
You're like 200 yards away. Yeah. Whatever, it's not that big, but it's huge.
Yeah. There's a guy behind a control booth window with a button that
pushes the button for the pin drop.
Make pin sound.
Yeah. Shut up. The acoustics are amazing there.
Was that too cynical?
Yes, it was. Pay no attention to the man behind the push button.
Hey, I mentioned as we begin page one of our morning announcements here, Santa potentially moving to town based on the Cornerstone Alliance offer here of recent times. How long ago was that when Cornerstone made that offer?
I believe it came out on October 26th.
In an attempt to...
basically 2 months ago.
particularly Chicagoans, but as it turns out, kind of anybody-ins that might want to move here to Southwest Michigan to become a permanent resident in this day and age of remote working.
Yeah, they took a look at it and they said, really, if you can work from anywhere, why not work from paradise? So come on and live here.
Paradise was full.
So they settled for
how about St. Joe, Benton Harbor?
Berrien County.
I actually heard, now I can't think of her name, over at Cornerstone. She was on the air with John Williams over on WGN Radio.
Oh, really? Christina Frank?
Yes. Yeah. Talking about this. And he was kind of, kind of playing devil's advocate and just kind of goofing around a little bit, saying, "I don't know if I should have you on the air. You're trying to,
steal
our people away from Chicago here." But it was an interesting conversation. And the whole deal here is that it has been hugely successful.
Yeah. I guess they got more than 300 applications in that first round. They called it the Move to Michigan program is what they called it.
Right.
And it offers incentives of $15,000 or more in some cases, I guess.
Yep.
And
it's mortgage forgiveness. If you live here a year, I think it's $5,000 comes off your mortgage, 2 years, another $5,000, and so on.
And the important thing thing is, and some people are, you know, kind of sniping at it and going, well, you know, you're just increasing the price of housing here. I can't even buy a house because these people from Chicago with a lot more money than I have are coming over here and buying them up and everything. And it's not just a second home. You have to take residence in the state of Michigan, and this is your prime residence.
Right.
If you're going to be successful in getting the incentives, you can move and be part-time if you want, but you're not going to get incentives.
There's an incentive as well if you bring school kids that are going to be enrolling in one of the school districts here. Mm-hmm. There's additional incentives there. And the other thing beyond that is, yeah, it might tighten the housing market immediately, but it also might encourage builders to start building more houses. Mm-hmm. And that means economic development and more jobs and
well, and,
so on.
Well, and Al Pascholka was saying in the roundtable last week for Canexus that Lincoln Township had 50 building permits this year. He says last year it was 8.
Yeah, from 8 to 50?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That is, so.
Well, they say the economic impact of this, in the first year of residence, these families projected to drive more than $1.38 million in new spending in the region. So, and then I also heard in that interview on the Chicago radio that this is just phase one, and it's kind of geographically specific to St. Joe, Benton Harbor, Stevensville, Bridgman. Mm-hmm. And then phase two then would expand beyond that to encompass more of Berrien County. Mm-hmm. And however long it goes, however successful it is, they'll expand it
it was about a year and a half ago or so they came out and Cornerstone did and said that, you know, one of their major goals was to increase the population in Berrien County by something like 5 or 10%. I don't remember the specific number, but that was a lot of people. So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Berrien County has been at best static from a population perspective for decades now. And I think it's even lost some in the last census count. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't have a growing, thriving economy if people are leaving.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Touché.
Kudos to them, and let's hope that it continues to be successful. Now, you mentioned sniping. They turned up the volume on sniping in the aftermath of this presentation of Congress's economic COVID relief bill.
Do you think?
Yikes.
Man.
I'm not sure that anybody's happy about this thing, outside of maybe Congress itself, who's just happy that something is done.
But even they aren't happy individually.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
See, but, you know, that's one of the definitions of success, they say, is, you know, if you go into negotiations and nobody comes out happy, then you're doing good. Because if half of them are happy and half are not, you didn't really win.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the president tweeted out a video saying, I'm not on board with this. I don't like this at all. There's not enough for American individuals or American families in this thing. And that's the other part of it that drives people nuts, is that they include all of this other stuff in the bill, and a lot of it is money being sent to other countries, and that just yanks people's chains.
Oh, and that was where the huge outcry came from. But I think it was Larry Nielsen piped in on one of the threads and said, Folks, you're confusing two things here. It was both a COVID relief bill and the budget being approved. And the omnibus bill. And the omnibus bill was the one that had the majority of that, you know, international aid and things like that. And so, you know, people are going, it's supposed to be a stimulus bill. And wait a minute, separate them out, get them in the right trough. Regardless, they're all tax dollars. And I understand that people's complaints about, you know, well, you giving money to people halfway around the world.
Sure.
Why don't you pay your own people first?
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people were cheered by the president saying, the heck with $600, give them $2,000.
Well, I think the general consensus on that $600 thing is that that's not really going to help much of anybody at all. I heard an interview with a woman who said, $600? Oh, I'm not going to be stimulating any economy with that.
Less than half my rent.
That's half my rent. You know, what do you think I'm going to spend that $600 to trying to keep my landlord off my back? So I can keep a roof over my head.
Exactly.
You know, so, and it's a one-time deal. And then, you know, right away, there's already talk of, we got to come up with another one first of the year. I think President-elect Biden is yammering away about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got something done, but we need something more. And we're going to have to go right back to the negotiating table at the turn of the year.
Well, but go back to what you said yesterday when we started off the show. You were talking about the people from other countries that are going, dude, $600, you know, we get, you know, we get that much a week.
New Zealand, we've been getting $600 a week until we got back on our feet, and that was months worth of that.
Exactly.
So, and many other of the developed nations in the world have been, Canada included, France and Germany and Great Britain,
all doing
regular payments throughout this whole thing.
One of the serious issues with that, though, is how do you manage sorting out who really needs it and who doesn't need it but is getting it anyway,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's what will grind a lot of people. They go, this guy next door is walking around. He got his stimulus payment and bought a new car.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. You got people like that, and then those stories come out right away, and it just, that also yanks chains. Mm-hmm. And
yankers.
We've been doing a lot of chain yanking this morning here. We're just getting started. Sorry if we yanked yours. I hope it wasn't too painful.
Yeah, really.
All right, moving off of that for just a moment here. We also have some breaking news. This actually came out yesterday, but we looked into it and got some details on the fact that there's going to be no wrap up to the high school football season around parts.
Okay.
Lakeshore High School has decided that they will not participate in the much delayed but recently rescheduled football playoffs. So the Lancers will not have opted out of the remainder of the playoffs. They got together in a meeting here recently and said that with leading into the holidays, due to the last-minute decision leading into the holidays, they had several challenges to deal with for the district, for the coaches, for the student athletes. So along with the safety of the athletes, the two other major challenges were families being out of town, and also the implementation of COVID, the testing program there. They met Monday. They found that 12 of the 22 starting positions would be unfilled.
Wow.
For various reasons. Kids weren't going to be able to play.
Well, as I understand, some of the parents were telling me that the safety protocols were that, you know, since they have been idle for so long, you have to put them back into a quote-unquote kind of training camp for a serious period of time first. You can't just go throw them back out on the gridiron and have them knocking each other around when they haven't done that in 3 or 4 weeks or whatever.
So. Yeah. So it was the decision of the athletic director and the management there at Lakeshore that they will not participate in the playoffs, and the season is over. And there you go. I guess we just settle down and wait for next year.
Mm-hmm.
On the speaking of the footballs front here, some changes coming from Ann Arbor. I'm not sure this is going to fix things, but at least they're doing something over there. Don Brown's time in Michigan is done. He's the defensive coordinator.
Wow. Does he wear khaki pants, too?
No, I think that's specific to Harbaugh.
Well, maybe that's why he's gone. He should have worn khaki.
His defensive unit ranked in the top three nationally in college football during three of his five seasons in Ann Arbor. But more recently, they were giving up like 34 points a game this past year, and he's just gone. So I said, step right up,
other teams. Get yourself some points right here. Step right up. It's all yours.
It seems to me they have as much as anything a recruiting problem there in Ann Arbor, and that comes from the top. I would be shocked if Harbaugh got one more year on his contract.
And they were already talking about renewing it the other day, and I thought there were people going, dude,
that
have
would
you
be
seen this?
Most
record?
Surprising and silly.
Yeah.
Page one of your morning announcements on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. 44 degrees at 6:24, and temperatures only in the 20s on Thursday. High of only 18 on Christmas Day, with the more lake effect snow possible there. And wind chills between 0 and minus 10. Merry Christmas, everybody. Bundle up.
Silent night.
We went kind of contemporary last time around, a little more traditional this time around.
Actually, it'd be really nice if everything was calm and quiet and, you know, silent. as opposed to all the strident screaming that goes on across social media.
Quit your strident screaming.
Cut it out.
Strident screamers. 6:42 with Jim Gifford and Pat Moody.
And a good for band name, the Strident Screamers.
For the vacationing Spencer Rivers. And we work into page two of your morning announcements here on...
I'm on the wrong page.
Get back. Come on. Let's get on the same page here, can we? We have word of further progress toward a world where you will never have to leave your house. Because we're kind of.
You know, when I saw this story, I thought exactly that. I said, "Well, there's no reason to go anywhere anymore. If this is going to be the case."
Well, that's what they're working on here. if you, we have Walmart and FedEx teaming up now, and the deal is. You don't have to leave your home to even return anything you may have purchased online from Walmart. They're working it out with FedEx so that the FedEx will come to your house, basically, and pick up your returns. And it's called the Carrier Pickup by FedEx. And the consumers have to start the return process on the Walmart app or the website. You schedule a pickup date. And you have to print out a label, but, you know, you got to do at least something, I would think.
Yeah, really?
So
will they come and pack it for you, too? Put it in a box and put all the packing peanuts in there?
FedEx will then come to your house and pick it up. So
amazing.
I don't know that this is a real good idea for us to continue.
I mean, we already have people that don't ever get dressed anymore because they're remote working from home and everything else.
So. Clogs and sweatpants. Or not clogs. What are those god-awful shoes?
Crocs.
Crocs and sweatpants.
These are the ugliest things in the world.
I know. And yet people continue to wear them out in public.
Your buddy Jim Boothby used to be a Crocs store manager.
That is correct. Did I tell you I called him accidentally once?
Did you butt dial him or something? Or?
I forget now exactly what happened. It was in the car.
You know what happened was you grabbed your phone and you were going to call the liquor store, and instead of hitting booze, you hit Boozeby.
I don't know what I hit or why, but
Jim Boozeby.
But he picked up and somehow or another, I guess I was still in his phone, so he knew who I was. I had no idea who I was calling. He's down in Florida, and it was just the most confusing.
So he went from Crocs to crocodiles.
So we had a nice little visit.
There you go.
Completely unintentional.
How about that?
All right, what else do we know here this morning?
What else do we know?
What I didn't know was that this particular item was on any campaign promise list or on a Capitol Hill priorities list, but I guess it's a thing now anyway, as the president, who more recently now is in the headlines for his opposition to the COVID relief plan and his insistence that Americans get more money than other entities, and his pardoning of a bunch of people. But the other day, he issued an order that said that all future federal buildings across the country must be quote unquote beautiful.
So much for the Butler Building, halls of Congress.
And also preferably built in a classical Greek, Roman, or similar style. It's an executive order that claims that too many federal buildings reflect brutalist designs of the last century. And says new government buildings should look more like America's beloved landmarks, like the White House.
Isn't that the same guy that said the White House was like a trailer trash or something when he first moved in?
Early on, that was the word, he wasn't, that it didn't certainly measure up to the kind of accommodations.
Wasn't enough gold fixtures.
kind of accommodations that he was accustomed to.
Yeah.
Traditionalists may welcome the move. Others are unhappy about it. The American Institute of Architects said it unequivocally opposes the initiative.
You don't have to oppose it. You just don't have to necessarily enforce it. I have to agree with them in at least one regard that, you know, some of the buildings you look at, and it's like Seriously, that's it? I mean, I'm a fan of architecture, as absolutely. You well know. And you remember when we went on the Chicago Riverboat cruise and the architectural tour from the river point of view, and there's some remarkable buildings.
Amazing. Yes. And Chicago was the home of great architecture.
Yes. And I love architecture. And I it just drives me nuts when you look at some buildings and go, seriously?
Well, I've noticed that, and certainly not necessarily or even particularly about the government buildings, but just almost everything
being
built now is a pole barn.
Yes. Yeah. or a box, you know. I mean, it's good. You know,
well, look,
it's a rectangle. Or
look what's happened. All the fast food restaurants now all look identical.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like shoeboxes.
Yeah.
And somebody decided that was a good design and, you know. I know it's certainly
easy to replicate, I guess, is the main thing, you know, because when you're trying to make it a cookie cutter operation, you needed to be able to be built quickly and get it up. You know,
and that's, I think, the appeal of these pole barn type situations, too. Easy to build and
flexible inside for ease of moving walls, since there aren't many.
Certainly more affordable than concrete block and brick facing and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So.
Till a tornado comes along. And
well, keep in mind, this is just an executive order, and since we have a new executive in a few weeks, that's likely not going to have much traction anyway. Here's a little something from the they got caught department. You've seen, I'm sure, seen and or heard about this, with dozens of West Point cadets getting caught cheating in the biggest exam scandal there to hit the academy in decades. More than 70 students accused of breaking the honor code in a math test, studying remotely because of the pandemic. Most have admitted the cheating. This was way back in May now. Instructors became suspicious when they noticed irregularities while marking the calculus tests. And you know what those irregularities were?
No.
Correct answers.
How did they get this right? How did so many get this right?
I did reasonably okay up through trigonometry. I got the calculus, and they may as well have been speaking a foreign language.
Math was my worst subject by far all the way through high school until I got to algebra. And I'm like, well, how come this is so much easier? Because there were letters involved, I guess. You know, because I was an avid reader, and I thought, well, hey, this is better. Now there's letters involved. And I was fine with algebra the next year, and I was getting good grades for the first time in history. And the next year they went to advanced algebra, and they had changed to the new math over the course of it. And it's like, oh, man, and I collapsed in a heap.
If I remember the progression through junior high and into high school, it was regular math, and then algebra 2, geometry, trigonometry, and calculus. Yeah. And I did kind of okay up through trigonometry and then calculus.
We had one teacher who could not teach one of the advanced classes. And I mean, he could do anything on the board, but he couldn't teach what he was doing. Mm-hmm. It was really sad. I don't know. He got a teaching certificate. And he knew he couldn't. So the ones in the class like myself who just couldn't fathom what he was doing, he would send us to the library to do reports on famous mathematicians so we could get a passing grade. Because we were never going to pass trying to work out the equations.
There you go.
Ah, man. You know, but this cheating scandal, I just saw a headline yesterday that regular school kids are being called out for cheating more and more because they're at home and remote they can.
The teachers can't monitor.
Right.
You know, 200 kids, and especially in a college situation, 200 kids in a remote situation.
Right.
So, yeah, it's become quite a problem.
Especially if you got two monitors. You got one monitor with the answers and the other monitor with a test.
That's right. That's right. I'm surprised it's not more of a problem even in class with kids with their cell phones. You know,
exactly.
They, put the answers on that.
Well, you used to write the answers on your hand, you know, with an ink pen.
Still have stains on the palms of my hands. This, I think you'll appreciate, Patrick, a lesson in perseverance here. As the sunrises are spectacular around sunsets and sunsets, spectacular around this part of the world. For more than 700 consecutive mornings, a guy by the name of Bugsy Sailor up in Marquette has not missed a single sunrise. He's been taking pictures of sunrises for nigh on two solid years.
Amazing. And he's doing this why?
Hasn't missed one. I don't know. 300, his original plan was 1 year, 365 in a row, kind of a New Year's resolution turned art project that he called the Year of the Sunrise. Then he realized that 2020 was going to be a leap year, and that inspired him for whatever reason to keep going. And now
he would have an extra day.
Yeah, pretty much. And now he's decided that maybe he'll go to 1,000.
Okay.
So, 1,000 pictures. Yeah. I don't know if he's doing them from the exact same location every day or if he's finding, you know, different vantage points, or I don't know what he's doing, but that is perseverance.
That is.
Good for him.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people around here that have perseverance. Molly Pate of Berrien Springs, I don't know if you're a fan of hers or seen her pictures on Facebook. She's down at the waterfront somewhere from between here and Traverse City every single night.
Really?
Taking pictures of the pier, the water, the crashing waves, the people that are kite surfing, whatever. And she's got an amazing body of work.
I swear that Josh Nowicki's down
there
with
her. He's kind of the same way, yeah. But he's branched out to a lot of other things. Molly's still, you know, her specialty is the lakefront, essentially.
And here's a little something from the Now That's What Stepping Up Looks Like file. Employees at a restaurant in Ohio get a Christmas gift they did not see coming. Customer left a $5,600 tip.
Wow. How much was the bill?
$24.
It was $400. He just rounded it out to $6,000.
This was for the entire staff to split. It's the Souk Mediterranean Kitchen in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
28 employees there, so each one got about $200 when it was all said and done. So.
Brings to mind the thought, holy Toledo.
Yeah. It does. All right, so there's page 2 of your morning announcements here on the 23rd of December.